Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and talk to Dan Lust, the sports and entertainment attorney who is heard all over the place and who we've had on the show many times to talk about sports law. Does a great job with us on Grant and Danny. Dan, it is good to talk to you again. How you been?
I'm good, guys. Let's just say my phone was blowing up this morning, and a very exciting 30-minute press conference, but happy to break it down with you guys.
Wild what's happening. So the FBI had a press conference. Some of the specifics: current former NBA players, coaches, Chauncey Billups, and as well as Terry Rozier and Damon Jones have been arrested in a legal gambling and sports rigging operation that spanned 11 states. 30 individuals got arrested, 13 mafia members as well. All right, so let's just start with painting with a broad brush, like your assessment on what was going on here and just the size of this investigation.
Okay, so let's start at a 50,000-foot level, and I'll state the obvious. There are two very different acts at the heart of this press release, right? We have inside betting info for basketball purposes, which I tend to think is a rather simple scheme, so to speak, right? It's just the passing of inside information. And then separately, right, on your other hand, we have a pretty complex poker betting scheme. I think the two are very different. You can, I guess, use your imagination as to why the two were combined for purposes of one press release, one large announcement. But I view the two as being very separate and distinct acts. But that was my biggest takeaway. Why are we talking about these two things in the same sentence? But yeah, I guess to the extent they're both gambling, I get it. But yeah, two very different acts at the heart of this.
And Dan, this is my big question. Like, the headline that I read, or the first news alert, is Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups arrested in this operation. And I'm going, oh, okay, so there's a link between them. And the link is, it's kind of gambling related, question mark. What's the tie in, and how is this all getting wrapped up into one thing?
Well, it's a good question. I was watching the press conference for this, for someone to ask it, and I think they got pretty close. The question is why they are linked. And seemingly they're linked because the arrests happen all on the same day. And so they, you know, it's not to make light of it, but they're kind of making it like a 2-for-1 special. Like, hey, you know, they're both kind of gambling. One is sports betting related. One's poker. Let's just, you know, they're both kind of basketball related. Let's just do a sweeping arrest in the same day, and let's do the press conference the same day. Instead of, which I think would logically be the case, do two different press conferences, two different releases, because, yeah, other than being gambling related and other than involving basketball players, there seems to be two very different schemes. One, I think, is rather simple, right? The providing of inside information. And the other one, the poker side, I found to be very fascinating, with alleged X-ray tables and automatic shufflers and face-ups and fish and sharks and seemingly a very elaborate process involving everyone at the table, the dealers. That seemed to be a very different character in nature. But, you know, to answer your question, why would you loop them together? Because I think everybody knows who Chauncey Billups is. He's a Hall of Famer. I think far less people know, as we're all sports fans, we know who Terry Rozier is. But the public knows who Chauncey Billups is. And grouping him together, I think, is certainly harmful to Billups, but does put a lot more attention on both cases.
All right, so let's talk about the poker games. This, like, Molly's Game level 11-state operation or whatever this was. But this includes, apparently, according to reports, X-ray machines built into tables to read face-down cards, contact lenses, glasses that read pre-marked cards, and rigged poker games. How is Chauncey Billups involved in this, allegedly? What was going on, exactly?
Okay, so another, you guys are asking all the right questions. I read all the same news reports, and then, you know, I wanted to watch the press conference, and then I ended up reading some of the news reports out there, and then the DOJ's press release. It seems from early indications that Billups wasn't the mastermind of the operation, but at least as the reports are coming out, apparently there would be a couple of targets, so that there would be a number of people at the table that were in on the scheme, and they would identify a target who had a large bank account, right? In the poker community, right, we'd call them a fish, someone that has a lot of money. They want to go to the table, but in addition to just playing in this game, they were allured by the prospect that, hey, famous people will be playing, Chauncey Billups being one of them. And we don't know to the extent that Billups was involved, right? Sometimes people are paid to show up at appearances. We don't know what Billups' defenses are, but it seems like from the charging instruments that Billups was a celebrity that was brought in to lure people to the table. It doesn't seem like he was the mastermind, but then again, he's charged here with money laundering and, you know, alleged wire fraud. So the charges don't really make a distinction. They will, I'm sure, at some point. But that seems to be Billups' involvement. He just was someone that was brought to the game. But we don't know. Is it possible he was wearing X-ray glasses, too, and he was more involved than just being a face-up guy? Certainly possible, but that's at least my read of the charging documents, that he's not the centerpiece of the poker operation.
How did it start? That's the thing I always wonder, Dan, is like, because there's a before, and then there's a time where somebody at some point approaches him or he approaches someone. Like, that's the part that I always kind of feel like gets glossed over in any kind of story. How did this begin?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, like, again, just kind of reading through the tea leaves, and the FBI and the EDNY, where I'm from in New York, the Eastern District, they're not giving us all the details. A lot of good questions that were being asked along those lines, and they said, we're not putting this out right now. We're not telling you what the defenses are. All I'll say, right, in our country, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. And I imagine, right, for someone like Billups, and we can loop Rozier in as well, sometimes they're not aware of the full scheme. And that's sometimes a defense. And we saw this a little bit with the Diddy trial not that long ago. In order to get these large charges of conspiracy, you need to show that people had some level of awareness of what was happening. And yeah, certainly a lot of people could have been involved. In theory, it would make sense, but this is why in our country, innocent until proven guilty. Billups might come out and say, yeah, I was at a poker game on a certain day. I have no idea what was happening. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure, right? You know, underground poker schemes have been happening for years and years and years. I was impressed and really kind of surprised at the level of technology that was involved. That seems to be a rather new development, right? Marked cards with X-ray vision, with buzzers. I don't know. That seems pretty alarming. But yeah, in this day, I imagine that type of tech is not going back 50 years. That's got to be a rather new technology development.
Dan Lust, sports law analyst, joining us on Grant and Danny. So this is going to sound like a dumb question, and feel free to kind of blow it out of the water. But, and you kind of just alluded to this, I mean, how common are things like this? And is this a bigger deal because, like, Billups' involvement? Like, if this came out...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind.
behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, and they listed all of the Italian families and the mob and all this stuff. I would say, whoa, that's crazy. In the same way that I did about like the jewelry heist at the Louvre or whatever a few days ago, where I kind of read the headline. I was like, wow, that's wild. That's from a bygone era. And I kept it moving. Or like, do you think this is unique and special and different because of the scope, money or otherwise, and tens of millions of dollars is involved?
Yeah, and you guys referenced it. Like, Molly's Room, the game, is it Molly's Room or Molly's Game?
Molly's Game.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been going, that's a movie that was 10 years ago. It was based on a book from years prior to that. Like, there is certainly some level of underground illicit poker games that have occurred for years and years and years, decades back, celebrities playing in those games. And again, I didn't mention it, the 50,000 foot, you know, answer that I gave you beforehand. I know we see reports of it. You could, you know, Tobey Maguire, whoever was featured in that movie. Like, there are celebrities that play in these really high level games. And I somewhat find it interesting that Chauncey Billups is the highest level name that's referenced. And I certainly, again, certainly my own opinion, but I think games like these, high level games that maybe aren't legal because the house is taking a cut, are far more pervasive than the public knows about. But this game and these allegations concerning this level of technology, I view that to be rare. I do. And I think, you know, you can use your imagination as the amount of high level players that are in some of these underground games and celebrities, no less. And if the highest person they get is Billups, that tells you that this game was a different character in nature. And rest assured, right, people have motivations for looping in Billups and Rozier. Again, I don't view these two acts as being that similar. But if there was a bigger name than Billups, if this was more pervasive than we thought, Billups certainly wouldn't be the biggest name. You'd have entertainers and actors and whoever else. So to the question, I do think this seems to be a rather unique offense. I'm not quite sure of the tie-in across all of those different. They said it went from Los Angeles to New York. There's a lot of different cities involved. But this technology element, I think, is what brings it to a different level.
Dan Lust with us here on Grant and Danny, breaking down the FBI charges against Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, and others. In terms of kind of how long running this was going, what sort of triggered the investigation? What do we know about that? Like how anybody was tipped off to it?
Yeah, they're being a little bit coy with those details, and I'll just say, I mean, I'm sure we're going to find out more in certain days, but at least on the sports betting side, this is the obvious one. There seems to be these irregular betting patterns that pop up, and people I know have been watching Twitter today, all these memes of Rozier missing shots and doing turnovers and whatever else. Maybe those aren't that suspicious in a vacuum, but there are sites that are designed to basically track historical betting on a particular day. We'll say on a weekday Charlotte Hornets game, they have some sense of what the band would be for bets, right? And I don't know what the numbers are, but they have some sense of that, and they have some sense as to when the timing of certain bets would be placed. Now, if there is a spike, and let's say, you know, 50 bettors across the country each place, and again, outside of their normal range of bets, let's say someone is a typical bettor of, I don't know, $100 a game, and 50 people across the country each bet way outside of their normal band of bets, that is viewed as suspicious betting activity. If it happens once, maybe that's interesting. If it happens enough, that's what flagged. So that's seemingly how it was discovered on the Rozier side. I think they're being, you know, for something like the poker scheme, it's less a technological discovery, and sometimes it's somebody reporting something and being the quote-unquote informant. I don't think we yet have that information of how the poker scheme was found out, but we would not rest assured, we wouldn't know of the x-ray tables and this and that unless someone from the inside, right, found out or at least relayed that information. Certainly the fish were, or the targets wouldn't have that information. It wouldn't come from a victim, but seemingly would come from someone on the inside. So that's generally historically how these things come out. FBI finds out some information and they get someone on the inside to flip in exchange for some level of immunity. But we just don't have that information yet.
The Chauncey Billups side of this, the poker version of the story today, to me, that's salacious and incredible, and it's straight out of a movie, so it's fascinating. But from a league standpoint, obviously the other one is a bigger deal, right? Which is the possibility of players throwing performances or their games or what have you. And that leads, as we've previously seen, to guys being run out of the sport, suspended, banned, what have you. So as we transition to that, I guess here's where I want to start the conversation. Whenever anything like this happens, a lot of people kind of take a victory lap and go, see, legalizing betting's been a disaster. And I'm actually on the other side where I go, well, there's more regulation and we're catching these guys. Stuff like this could have been happening for the last 50 years. And because it's not regulated the same way, because we weren't diving into it to the same extent and taking the same safeguards as a sport, maybe we would have never known. Am I onto something or am I overstating it?
You are, and I'll go one further. There is something troublesome for the NBA, right? And I know a lot of time has been spent talking about Kawhi and all the stuff going on with that deal, but I view this as being much more important. And Grant and Danny, if you guys don't know, and maybe your listeners don't know, I teach a sports law class. So I do this every semester. I talk about the Ohtani case. I talk about all these different times in NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball history where it seemed obvious that something happened, but all of a sudden, like, you know, we could go back to Brian Flores and that whole situation. It seemed obvious that something wrong happened, but the league decided to sweep it under the rug, and there was no criminal indictment attached to it. So it was really just the league saying, trust us. We did our own investigation. We hired these fans. Lawyers, and we found no evidence of anything. So let's go back to January of 25. So earlier this year, when the Rozier stuff comes out, we knew all the same stuff. We knew that the game that they were looking at, we knew of the suspicious betting activity, and the NBA said, trust us, we're going to look at it. We know that the feds are looking at it, but don't worry, we're going to look at it. And the NBA comes back and they clear Rozier. They clear him. He was obviously eligible to play last night. He was on the bench for Miami, but they cleared him. So I think the NBA looks very bad within that scope. They looked at the incident. They had seemingly the same evidence that the feds were looking at, you'd think, right? Some level of understanding of what happened. And they cleared Rozier. So the NBA, and rest assured, the next time Silver gets in front of a microphone, someone smart's going to ask him this question. How is it that you cleared him, but the feds viewed it enough to have him as the centerpiece of this indictment? What did you see that they didn't see? And it's going to be a very tough question for Silver to ask. And it's the same question that I ask my students, right? We had a lot that was pointing that Shohei Ohtani had some involvement with this betting scandal. And you can use any type of example. But the Major League Baseball cleared him, and Ohtani wasn't wrapped up in a federal indictment. So, you know, there wasn't really anything else to look at. It was just trust Major League Baseball. And that's the type of question that's unique to this case. Silver cleared him, but the FBI and you know, federal prosecutors did not. So that's a really tough sell if you're Silver. I don't really know how he gets around that.
So, Dan, for the Rozier part of it, I mean, there's a couple salacious things sort of tangentially related to it. And here's what I mean. There's a description of one of the quote-unquote prominent players, and that matches LeBron James, if you're sort of doing a quick scan, and not that LeBron's involved at all, but it was a, hey, he's not playing tonight, a better, you know, has a huge bet against it and or against the Lakers, and that team loses, et cetera. But there's also a couple of the other guys that were, I guess, again, all alleged, whatever I have to say, linked to Rozier and Jones that have also been accused of doing a lot of illegal gambling with college games as well. So is this now kind of part of a larger net here?
Yeah, and to the point we said earlier, it's technology, right? Like, and we, I'm sure you guys have spoke about it, but Rozier essentially sat out a game, and then, you know, we can always see, like, if a team is not playing well and they want to rest one of their star players, will it help their draft position? Yes. The question is whether inside information was provided ahead of time, and you can track that by the suspicious betting patterns. If it's one suspicious bet, I don't think it gets flagged. Again, numerous bets will be flagged. So that's the question. Could this be the first domino to fall? You know, it's certainly possible. I would think that the FBI didn't need to announce this today, on the day after the NBA tipped off their season. I think if you were really on pursuit of someone like a LeBron or someone huge, you would have waited. If you felt that you had a good cause to get someone like LeBron, right, who could be the top level of this type of investigation, you wait. You don't need to make Billups the main guy. That doesn't make sense. So I think in a larger scope, you're probably right, that they're not done looking into people. Feds have been on this for at least a year. I think if they had enough juice and another huge, massive fish on top of all this, they would have waited for the appropriate time or otherwise ruled that person out. So I certainly think it's not going to be the end of sports betting investigations, but it seems like this is the complete picture with respect to these two particular incidents.
Dan Lust on Grant and Danny. Before we let you go, one more, a little bit off the beaten path, but semi-related here. You mentioned being a professor at the college level. Well, collegiately, in a week, college athletes are now going to be allowed to bet on pro sports. And I just find the timing of this story that I saw for the first time within the last 48 hours interesting. So I know that in other sports, like if you play for the Commanders, you can bet on everything outside of football, essentially, as long as you're not at the facility. Does this mean, Dan, that college athletes previously weren't allowed to bet on anything at all, and now they're going to be able to bet on anything but college sports? And just what's your take? What have we found about kind of allowing you to do some, but not the thing that you play?
Yeah, so first of all, I think the timing is just so bad. I mean, we knew about this maybe, I think it was a week or two ago we heard about it, and that the effective date would be November 1st, but the timing is heinous. It's awful. And let's just say different sports have different prohibitions, right? Baseball's rules are different than football's concerning like on facility bets. They're all slightly different. The logic behind at least the NFL's bets and the NFL's policy is that you're likely to get inside information if you're at a particular facility. I don't necessarily agree with that. For example, when Jameson Williams got suspended once upon a time when he was Lions, I think he was betting on some other sport. He just happened to be at the facility. So I don't necessarily agree with the premise that you're likely to have inside info if you're at the facility versus in your car. I don't really think that makes sense.
Well, you know, Dan, then, as soon as you leave the facility and get in your car, you forget all of
there's no info in the car.
The knowledge that you have.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Zero. None. And I mean, the same can be true for college kids. Like, what access do college kids have to inside information at the professional level? Yeah, certainly someone could be someone else's cousin. I get that. But that's so tenuous. Maybe that person should be, you know, reviewed for suspicious betting patterns concerning their family members or close ties.
I wonder if you could have an agent that has players in the league that says, oh, this guy's not playing on Sunday.
Former teammates who are now in the pros.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, in my practice, I represent agents, and some agents represent pros, and they represent college kids, right? And you could be outside of the facility on your phone and have the same level of access to inside information. So I think it's a slippery slope. I don't know what prompted colleges to pass that rule. I don't know what has changed between point A and point B to prompt that. And certainly, right, today's October 23rd. It's very possible that they re-examine that decision in light of what just happened. And NCAA has taken this big role about protecting college kids. Who knows, right? I don't think it's out of the bag. Until it passes on November 1st, I would view that very closely. It wouldn't shock me if they pushed it back, at least to some extent. November 1st is just an arbitrary date they picked.
Dan, terrific as always, man. Great insight. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Yeah, you're the best. That was fantastic. Dan Lust with us on Grant and Danny at Sports Law Lust if you want to follow him on social media.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.